So we're starting a series this morning on the miracles of Jesus. We're going to spend a few weeks just exploring some of the miracles that characterized his life. In John 4, when Jesus heals the official's son, who was at the verge of death, the guys are coming to him, of course, because this soldier had heard of Jesus healing people. So he comes around and says, "Come on, come and heal my son. And Jesus says this to him in John 4, "Unless you believe and see signs and wonders, you will never believe." You people, unless you see signs and wonders, unless you see miracles, you will never believe. So you see here, and you'll notice throughout the Gospels that signs and wonders and miracles were really a big part of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus says, actually, some people have come to faith because of signs and wonders. So we're going to explore, these miracles over the next few weeks just to see some lessons for us. And I think God wants to speak to us. So if I can take a moment now to pray for the series and pray for this morning. So Father, we want to ask you for the series, God, as we begin to explore your life, as we begin to look into you, God, and get to know you better and better. I pray, God, you'd come and flood us with you. All of it is about you, God. As we were singing this morning, it's all about you. And this mirror, it's not about the miracles. It's about Jesus. It's about you, God. And I pray this morning that that would become more apparent. And God, as we preach, would you give us wisdom? Give us words to say. Give us things the way you want us to, to preach. The way you want to speak to your people, God. Would you do that for us? Pour out your spirit on us, God, and empower us. Your Holy Spirit empowers us. Would you do that, God? Empower us to hear. Empower us to get it into our hearts. Empower us to live it out. And we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark chapter 6. We're starting this morning with Jesus feeding the 5,000. So Mark chapter 6 from verse 30 onwards. It's going to be on the screen. Verse 30. Okay. It reads, "The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had taught and done." That's the context here. This is directly after Jesus has just sent the guys out in twos to go and preach the gospel and do many things. So they return here. So the apostles returned to him and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many people were coming and going, and they had no leisure to even eat. They went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all towns to go, and they got there ahead of them. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is the desolate place, and the hour is now quite late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves bread, something to eat." But he answered them, "No, you give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "Well, how many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking up the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they ate and were satisfied. And the disciples took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were about 5,000 men." This is a beautiful story. I want to make 3 things this morning. I want to make an introductory comment that I've just hit me between the eyes. and then just to draw a few lessons after that from this story. And I really feel God wants to speak to 3 specific areas this morning, which we'll get to in a moment. But just by a way of introduction, Jesus says to the disciples, "Come away by yourself to a desolate place to rest for a while." For many people, because they had been out, so for many people recognized them and they came out. So Jesus said, "Okay, guys, come away with me. Come to a place that's far from these people." And this is big because this place was quite far from the villages. So it would have been like, you know, equivalent to hiking for 11 kilometers, which is quite difficult for people like me, because 11 kilometers seems really long. But for Malcolm, it's very short. So and I imagine this, the people that were coming here were people who had just been saved, maybe 2 days or a few weeks, having witnessed Jesus or having heard from the disciples. And so they would have, you know, been saved very recently. But it says they walked long distances to get to Jesus. Like they really walked long distances. Now imagine if we said Jesus is going to FNB Stadium tomorrow. Would you walk there? No way, I wouldn't walk there. It's too far. But the point I'm making is these guys went a long distance to get to Jesus. In fact, they used the phrase, they ran after him. And this thing really hit me, you know, between the eyes, because I'm thinking to myself, how often do I run after Jesus? Like, would I run this far to go and hear about Jesus? Let alone if I was just saved for a few days or even a few weeks, would I run after Jesus like these guys did? And I really feel God wants to encourage us this morning to really run after him. And the lesson I think here is that the gospel is attractive. For these people to walk such long distances to get to Jesus, it must mean that this gospel must have been really, really attractive. And I think the other thing here that I ask myself, and I think we can also ask ourselves, is that is the gospel enough for you to run after Jesus and nothing else? Is the gospel enough for us to witness for Jesus? Do we believe Jesus when he says, come to me and I will give you life? Do we believe that? We must run after him. Because the reality is, the end goal of all the signs and miracles and wonders that we're going to be looking at is not the miracle itself, but it's Jesus. It's about him. So as we look at miracles, the point is we must run. A sign points to something. And these signs and wonders point us to Jesus, and we must run after Jesus. God wants us this morning to run after Jesus. And maybe you might be here and you don't call yourself a Christian, or you don't call yourself someone who follows Jesus. God is calling you to run after him. He's calling you to come to him this morning. Chase him. Okay, let's draw some lessons from this passage. Three things that stand out for me from this passage is the fact is Jesus' compassion, and then secondly is his provision, and then thirdly, his faithfulness. So first up, this compassion issue. In verse 34, it says, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. It says Jesus was compassionate. He was moved to compassion. Now, compassionate means, according to the Oxford Dictionary and others, it means concern for one's sufferings or sympathy for one's misfortune. So it says Jesus has this characteristic about him of compassion. He's got this characteristic about him of concern for your need, of concern for your suffering, of concern for your well-being. He's got this characteristic. And then the reason that is given here for Jesus' compassion, he says he saw the crowd and he was moved to compassion. And the reason given is that these people were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, sheep without a shepherd. So where I come from, my dad owns sheep and stuff, you know. We slaughter a lot and, you know, we eat meat and blah, blah, blah. But sheep without a shepherd are vulnerable. Now, where I come from, we don't have wolves, but we've got like jackals and, you know, and many other things that just come and chow the sheep if you've got them in the grazing field. So sheep without a shepherd are vulnerable. They are exposed to danger. You hear that? So vulnerable and exposed to danger. And it says here that grieved Jesus and moved him to compassion. He was concerned for their well-being. And there's a pattern in the Bible of this sheep without a shepherd thing. In Isaiah 53, it's talking about us and Jesus. It says, as we all of us are like sheep that have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, here's this language again of sheep without a shepherd, and it is used here as well. Sheep without a shepherd go astray. Sheep without a shepherd are exposed to danger. Now, the pattern here is that Jesus is concerned for the well-being of the sheep. And we see this at the center of the gospel, where Jesus dies for the sinners. He is so concerned with our well-being that he shields us from the destruction of sin, even if it meant to lay down his life for us. And in this story, we see his concern for the well-being of this people isn't the fact that it's 5 o'clock in the evening and they're hungry. He's concerned about that, but primarily he's concerned about this fact that these guys are like sheep without a shepherd. This whole story is founded on this miracle in all of history. Jesus feeding 5,000 people is founded on the fact that God, Jesus, is a compassionate God. All of it finds, so as we're gonna look into it, you know, in some lessons, but it's founded on this fact that Jesus Christ, the one of his outstanding features or attributes is that he is compassionate for those who are in need. Are you feeling like this morning, are you feeling like, you know, maybe you're in a tight situation or you are, something's going on in your life? Do you feel like Jesus doesn't care? Do you ever get to the place where you feel like, surely he doesn't care? I have. I've gotten to a place where I'm saying, this is too heavy. Surely, if you cared about me, you'd take it away. Do you feel like you're part of the crowd, maybe, that's coming around to Jesus? Maybe you feel like you're unnoticed. And maybe, you know, you don't believe in Jesus yet. Jesus wants you to know that he cares for you. The people that were coming to him, maybe even amongst them, there were some people who were not yet believers, but they came. And it says he was moved to compassion. Jesus was moved to compassion because he cares for us. He cares about you. Your need moves him. I need you to hear this morning. Your need, the very thing that comes to your mind when I say, what is your need? He cares about that. He's compassionate about that. Run to him. Don't move away from him. Run to him. He's a compassionate God. You move him to compassion. The Bible says of us that when we were dead in our sin, there's nothing in us that would make ourselves alive. But Christ came. He was moved to compassion because you were dead. You were like a sheep without a shepherd. He cares for you. He's compassionate about you. He really cares for you. Okay, and then the second thing is that this story is about. Remember, it's founded on the fact that he's compassionate and he's, you know, he cares for your need. Now, secondly, in verse 35 onwards, the story about him feeding the 5,000 happens. You know, this is the deal. Now, the guys are sitting on the grass and they're eating, but Jesus uses this moment of a lack of bread. The fact that there are 2 fish and 5 loaves, he says, oh, there's an opportunity to teach into one of the most fundamental things about me. So let's break it down. The disciples are concerned about what the people are going to eat. Now there is a real need of where people are hungry, it's late, and this is seriously far. What are we going to do? Their solution is, okay, Jesus, send the people away to go and buy themselves food, wherever. You must send them away. Jesus says, no, you must give them something to eat. Now, Jesus is not a clown. So whenever I read this story, I just think, you know, this guy a clown, like 2 fish and 5 loaves? 5,000 people? Is he serious? I mean, if you were at FNB Stadium yesterday, you know how many, like, half of that stadium is like 40, 50,000 people. And Jesus says, oh, we've got 2 fish and 5 loaves. Yes, we're going to feed everyone. Let's do it. He's not a clown. He's aware. He's aware that he doesn't think that this 2 fish and 5 loaves will feed 5,000 people. He's aware of the lack. And I think this is key. Sometimes we can feel like Jesus is not aware of our lack, or he's not aware of our need. He's not delusional. He's seriously aware of your lack. He's aware of your need. But what he wants to do here is he wants to teach us this morning that our provision is not dependent on our salaries. You hear that? Our provision in our lives is not dependent on our salaries. It's dependent on Him. Jesus is saying here, I am the provider, no one else. Don't go into the villages and towns to look for bread, but come to me. He's saying, Mesuli, I'm your provider, not God First Church. I'm your provider. He's saying, Tim, I'm your provider, not your business, not your job. I'm your provider. And how many times in life do we say, in our everyday lives, and I say this a lot, that, you know, there's no way I'm going to tithe this month. I'm not going to give to God this month. Because if I do, then I'm not going to make it through the month. So what I do is, okay, here's the plan. I'll withhold my tithe, because surely God will understand, you know. He knows, I mean, there's a need here. He understands, and He will understand. He knows my school fees bill. Okay? He knows I need groceries in my fridge. For some people, He knows that I need the wine. Surely He's going to sympathize. How many times do we do that? I find myself in this position countless times. And Jesus wants us to believe this morning that He is our provider. He wants us to know that He desires us to know this very deeply, that He is our provider. Now, the disciples here have been with Jesus for a while. They would have walked with Him. They would have witnessed all the stuff that He was doing in His lifetime. They would have seen. I mean, they know Him as God. They knew Him as the Messiah, the one who would come from heaven. They knew Him as that kind of guy. But their solution to provision is to say, oh, okay, now surely you're not going to be capable of this one, so we'll send the people away. They must go to the shops. Instead of coming to Jesus and saying, hey, Jesus, we've got this problem. How will you provide? He didn't do that. They said, I will tell you how to provide. Send the people away. In fact, they even say, are you saying we must go and spend 200 denarii on bread to feed these people? Some translations say 200 denarii would have been 8 months worth of wages. It says, it would be too costly to do that. Are you sure you want us to spend that much money? Have you seen how much month there is left? And many of us are like this, eh? We trust you, God, with many areas of our lives. But in this one, we've got it sorted. In fact, we're going to labor and go and sort it out very quickly. And Jesus is saying, guys, no, I am your provider. If God were to put you, yeah, if God were to test you and say, the job you have now, the job you've got, quit it. Would you believe that God was going to provide for you? Would you believe that He's going to provide for you? In fact, if maybe you're saving for something and you've got about 100,000 in the bank and, you know, it's almost there. And God says, you know that money you've been saving? Yeah, the one in the bank? Yeah, give it away. Would you believe that Jesus is going to provide for you? Would you believe that Jesus will provide a house for you if you were saving for a house? Okay, I'm going to do an illustration here just to pick up on Moses a bit. So if I can have the two Tims, Tim Greenway and Tim Robinson. Is your leg okay, bro? Because this is going to be physical. And then where's Justin? Justin, there you go. I said to Justin, I'm going to use you as an illustration. And he said, can I greet the people? So I'm going to give it the word to greet the people. Come up to the stage, guys. Okay, so what we're going to do is there are three different people of different sizes, eh? No, we're not picking on you, Tim. Okay, so we're going to use this Tim as a prop, Tim Greenway, okay? So what I want you to do is you, Tim, must try. No. You come here. Come to the middle. Yeah, I want you, Tim, to try and pick him up. Just lift. No, not by his hair. Just lift him off the ground. Oh, there we go. Round of applause. Okay, enough. Okay, and then I'm going to ask Justin to try and do the same. Just try it. Try it. Try and pick him up. Yeah, try and pick him up. That's cool. That's fine. Okay, that's thanks. So, did you see how no one had a problem with Tim picking him up? Like, Tim went for Tim. It's like, oh, yeah, that's going to be easy. We're going to go for it. And then as soon as we say Justin's, everyone's a little nervous. Hey, this is going to be a bit difficult or close to impossible. Thanks, guys. And the thing I want to teach, thank you so much. Let's give them a round of applause. The reality is that we've got an inbuilt thing in us to trust in something in us. But we've got a tendency to trust in something that we have confidence in. So we trusted the other team because we had confidence that he can pick him up. But in the other, in Justin, we had no confidence whatsoever. God is calling us to this morning, as he was these disciples, to a place where we have unshakable faith, unshakable trust in the fact that he is our provider. Do you get that? Unshakable faith. And we can trust him. Why can we trust him? Here's the reason we can trust him. In Romans, in fact, the context in which Jesus provides for these 5,000 people is out of compassion. He says he had compassion over them. And of course, he loved them. And then he provides for them. In Romans 8, the Apostle Paul is talking about God's sovereignty, God's being in control, and even over things like provision. He says in Romans 8:28, it's not 8:32, Romans 8:32, he says, he, Jesus, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He says we can trust God that he can and will provide for us. Why is that? Because he has met our fundamental need. He says he who did not spare his own son. He met your fundamental need by not sparing his son, but giving him up on a cross so that we would be forgiven, so that we would become sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. And he says, he who did that, how much more will he not provide for our lesser needs? How much more will he not graciously give us all things? He says his compassion moved him to meet our greatest need. This means in tight situations, this means in abundant situations, our eyes are to be fixed on Jesus because he is our provider. So when we're doing well financially, it's not, Adrikas, you're doing so well, man. It's not God is providing for you. Because it's the only way. God is the one who's the provider. It means in tight situations, we trust him who met our greatest need to meet our lesser needs. He's our provider. Jesus is your provider. That phrase, Jesus is your provider, should be enough. Jesus is your provider. If it's not enough, God wants to say, guys, I wanna bring you to a place of a refreshed faith, a refreshed trust in the fact that I am your provider. Not to be in a place where we make plan Bs. Jesus, look after my kids. Will you just please make sure that the school fees is paid, that they are safe at school? Okay, yeah. And then I'm going to help you by getting those tickets to Australia and moving them to Australia. But you know, take care of them, but I'll help you take care of them. Have you seen how terrible the government is leading the economy? Have you noticed how they're not doing anything? It's terrible. God is not subject to economies. And he is your provider. In whatever economic state, whether you're employed, this is huge, whether you're employed or unemployed, you're looking for a job, God is your provider. He's your provider. Let him decide how he will provide. In a state where there are 2 fish and 5 loaves and 5,000 people, let him decide how he will provide, because he's the provider. No one else is. So what do you need from God this morning? If I ask you a question. Are you maybe you may be anxious about the future? Do you need some employment? What is it that you need from God this morning? We're going to take a moment at the end of the service to pray for some people and to pray as a church. But what do you need from him this morning? It's a good question, isn't it? And Jesus is calling you to come to him, because he's the provider. He's the one who provides. Come to him. He has your back. And I'm going to close with this. The other lesson we see here is this thing of God's faithfulness. In verse 43 it says, "And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of fish." So after having fed the 5,000 people, after having served them, it says they then picked up leftovers in 12 baskets. There's another story that I'm going to read to you in Mark 8, a few chapters from this. Now, I had never come across this. So if you were talking to me about the miracles of Jesus and Jesus feeding 5,000, that's all I know. So I came across this as I was preparing this message. And it says this in Mark chapter 8, verse 14 to 21. Now, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, he says to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They said 12. "And the 7, when I was feeding the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" Do you not yet get it? What is it that the disciples did not understand here? He says, your hearts are hardened. Your ears are not hearing. Do you still not see? What's this? What's there to see? He says they did not understand, I think. They did not understand the meaning of the leftovers in both of these occasions. And we must not miss it this morning. The meaning of the leftovers is the fact that Jesus will take care of you, and he is faithful to do so. He will take care of you, and he's faithful to do so. You see this in both of these occasions without fail. The disciples give their lives for Jesus. They serve him. They worship him. They love him. They abide with him. And Jesus makes sure to meet their need. The reality here, or the lesson here, is that we cannot out-ask God. He doesn't run out or get tired of us. Like, "Oh, it's Malcolm again. Can you believe it? He's always asking for something." He doesn't get tired of us, but it says every time you come, he's full of compassion for us. He has abundant resources. He said here, we moved from 2 fish and 5 loaves to leftovers. Hey, there was lack. There were 2 fish and 5 loaves. And at the end of the story, there are leftovers, 12 baskets even. He doesn't run out. Jesus does not run out. So we can go to him over and over again. And he's faithful towards those those he loves. He cares for us. He looks after us in many ways. And he doesn't just provide for us, but he's faithful to meet our needs. He knows what we need. He's powerful to do the impossible, to make sure he meets our need, to make sure he provides for us. He's prepared to turn 2 fish and 5 loaves to, I don't know how many, to feed 5,000 people, to take care of us. He's a faithful God. So what are you not trusting him for this morning? Do you know that he's a God that delivers? He keeps his word. Are you aware that he knows it all? He doesn't just care and provide, but he knows your need. He's aware of it. It doesn't take him by surprise. He's near and knows what you need. So this entire story is about this fact that God cares for us and he provides for us and he is our provider. And I really feel like God is calling us to that place this morning. Even as Malcolm, as we're praying as a church, our trust is in Jesus. He is the provider. And I feel God is calling us as individuals in our own lives to say, guys, I'm your provider. In the ups and the downs, I'm your provider. In terrible economies, I'm your provider. I'm your provider. Can I pray for us? Father, we believe you as a provider to us. And we trust you as a provider. In fact, we've seen you as a provider to us. We owe our lives to you. We owe our well-being to you. You have made sure that we have been sustained. You sustain us. We live in you, God. You provide for every need. You are the source of our everything. You are God. I want to pray, God, you'd open our hearts this morning and you'd open our ears and minds, God, to see you as our provider. God, like you did for the 5,000. God, you are our provider and you are compassionate towards us. You care for us. And God, we want to see you fully for what you are in this area, God. God, I want to pray that you'd open our hearts and open our minds. Amen.